Following the break within the Eastern and Western branches of the Catholic Church in the year 1054, there were numerous intrigues from within the Vatican to restore Vatican control over various parts of the Eastern Church. But long before the break had come, the tensions between Constantinople and Rome were largely driven by intrigues, spies, and secret agent emissaries between the two capitals of Christendom. Objecting to Rome's constant harassment, the leader of the Eastern Church, Photius, wrote in 861 AD to his counterpart in Rome, Pope Nicholas, I quote, "To the very holy among all and most sacred brother and co-minister Nicholas, Pope of ancient Rome, Photius, Bishop of Constantinople, the new Rome." Photius opened his letter with words of praise for Christian charity. "Nothing," he wrote, "is more honorable and precious than charity." And then he gets to the heart of the matter, sternly rebuking the Pope of Rome for all the harassment of the previous years. I quote, "It is this charity that has made me bear without difficulty the reproaches that your paternal holiness has hurled at me like darts, that has forbidden me to consider your words as the results of anger or of a soul greedy of insults and enmities, that on the contrary has made me regard them as the proof of an affection which cannot dissimulate, and of a scrupulous zeal for ecclesiastical discipline, a zeal that would have everything perfect. For if charity will not permit us even to consider evil as wrong, how shall we permit us to call anything wrong? Such is the nature of true charity, that she will even regard as an intended benefit that which causes us pain. But since there is no reason why truth should not be spoken between brothers or fathers and sons, for what is there more friendly than truth? Let me speak and write to you with perfect freedom, not from a desire to contradict you, but with intent to defend myself. Perfect as you are, you should have considered at the outset that it was quite against our will that we were placed under this yoke, and therefore have had pity upon us instead of rebuking us. You should not have despised us, but have had compassion on our grief. Indeed, we owe pity and kindness, and not insult and contempt, to those who have suffered violence. But we have suffered violence, how great, God alone, who knows the most secret things, can know. We have been detained against our wishes. We have been watched narrowly, surrounded with your spies like a culprit. We have received votes against our will. We have been created a bishop in spite of our tears, our complaints, our affliction, our despair. Everyone knows it, for these things were not done in secret, and the exceeding violence to which I have been subjected was so public as to be known of all. What should not those who have endured such violence be pitied and consoled as much as possible, rather than be attacked, evil entreated, and laden with insults? I have lost a sweet and tranquil life. I have lost my glory, since there be who love earthly glory. I have lost my precious leisure, my intercourse so pure and delightful with my friends, that intercourse whence grief, double dealing, and recrimination were excluded. No one hated me then, and I accused, I hated no one, neither at home nor abroad. I had nothing against those who had the least intercourse with me, and nothing a fortiori against my friends. I have never caused such pain to anyone as that I should reap an outrage from it, save in those dangers to which I have been exposed for the cause of religion." This heart-rending soliloquy was a protest against the indignities of spying against brethren of the same faith. If Catholic leaders in the first millennium and a half of Christendom showed such suspicion and distrust for their allies, still more did they rely on infiltrators and spies to monitor their enemies.